I don't know. I'm assuming that this is an issue for most of us. That's why we're talking about it this morning. I don't know how many of you have ever wondered, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever wondered if God is actually speaking to you? If he's leading you, you're sensing something, you're not sure what it is, but you're wondering if it is indeed God that's giving you a directive, wanting you to take a step, wanting you to do something specific. That's what we're going to get into. That is a really tough question to answer, and we're going to spend some time unpacking that this morning. Because here's what the scripture says. John 10:27. We're just diving right in, okay? So no funny story, nothing. We'll get to that, though. John 10:27. This is Jesus speaking. He says, my sheep, and that's you. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's talking about you. We are his sheep, all right? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Jesus makes it pretty clear that if we're going to follow him, there is going to be a give and a take. He's going to give us directives, and we're going to follow him if we're actually following Jesus. Like we're not called followers of Christ because, like, theoretically we would follow him. We're called followers of Christ because wherever he tells us to go, we go. And whatever he tells us to do, we follow him in that. He lives his life a certain way, and then he calls us to follow in his footsteps, and we do that, right? Like, this isn't theory that we're discussing. Like, where the rubber meets the road of our lives, our lives should look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, feel like Jesus. And as Jesus says, his sheep, that's us, we know his voice. And he knows us, and then we follow him. But we need to be listening for that. So here's where we're at. We're in, this is the last week we're talking through our first value, which is the value that we're all in. We'll read it again one more time. That value says, we are all in. We are passionate about Jesus. He is not just a part of our lives. He is everything. We will respond to him with an untamed, spirit-led, all-in yes. So we're talking about, so if I can go back a few weeks when Pastor Dobie was here, if you remember, and he said, got us into the water on this, basically quoting Jesus, saying that according to Jesus, you either try to save your life and you end up losing your life, or you lose your life for his sake and then you find your life. And he said, it's a lose-lose situation to follow Jesus. Like you, as a human being, it's a lose-lose. You either lose your life to sin or you lose your life in God. And when you choose to lose your life in God, it literally means you and I, like, if we're going to follow Jesus, yeah, we receive forgiveness, we receive freedom, we receive all the good things that God wants to give us, but it means that we lay down our life and our life is not our own anymore and we're surrendered to him and whatever, like, he says jump and we say how high. And so last week we talked about the fact that obedience is key for us if we're going to follow Jesus. We need to be obedient to what he's already written to us in his word. We need to be obedient to what God is speaking to us through his spirit. And so this morning what I want to kind of do is go, okay, but how do you know when God is speaking to you through his spirit? I mean, have you ever felt that before where you're like, I hope this is God, or I hope this isn't God, or I'm not really sure what's going on here, right? So here's a scripture that I want us to read. 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 11, and if you've been around church world at all, you've probably heard this before because there's a really powerful image of how God chooses to speak to us most of the time. It says this, the Lord said, go out, speaking to Elijah, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, like, if we can be accused of anything as human beings, as like pertaining to our relationship with God, we could probably be accused of underestimating the power of God, underestimating the greatness of God, because God is on a scale so far beyond our, like, we are finite human beings. There's a limit to our comprehension. There are limits, we have all kinds of physical limits, right? I'm not going to do it, but if I wanted to jump on the stage, there is a limit to how high I can jump. certainly. There is a limit to how high anybody can jump as a human being. Even if you have somebody with the best leaping capabilities, there is a limit because as human beings, we have finite limitations. But God is infinite. There is no end to him. He's infinite in his power and in his greatness and in his glory. And if we can be accused of anything, it's that a lot of times we forget that. We fail to see how much of a difference there is between us and between God, right? So you read this story and you go, like, God is going to speak to Elijah. And you're like, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. And you go, like, well, that would make sense that would be how God speaks. But it's not how he spoke. And then there's an earthquake and everything's shaken. And you go, well, with the power and the authority and the grandeur of God, his voice could shake the foundations of the earth. Like, that would make sense that'd be how he speaks. But that's not how he speaks. And then fire comes and there's power in fire. But that's not how God speaks. And then there's this gentle whisper. And I'm not saying God never speaks through, you know, the wind that tears through the rocks or the earthquake that shakes the foundation or shouts in certain situations in our life. He does, but more often than not, the way that God speaks to us is a whisper. It's a gentle whisper. And it's up to you and I, are we listening for the voice of God first and foremost? And that's half the battle. Because what you got to understand is, my youngest child on Friday night, we ran errands to Appleton. We went to Appleton. We got back late at night. And everybody's really tired. And I remember seasons of my life where everybody was so small. If everybody fell asleep in the car, it was the worst. I would like have the radio turned up. I'd be trying to engage my kids in conversation because we'd get home and there'd be five kids all asleep in the car. And then I would have to carry them all multiple stories up to their bedrooms one at a time. And it was just like this, you know, so I would try to keep them awake as long as I could so that I didn't have to carry all five kids. Well, we're not to that point anymore. Everybody's old enough, you know, and I'm over it as a dad. So no dad guilt anymore. I'm just like, hey, get up. You need to go to bed. I'm not carrying you anymore, you know. But my youngest, he staggered to the kitchen and he made it to the kitchen and then he collapsed on the floor. You know, he didn't actually collapse, but he's laying on the floor, and I'm like, hey, you need to, you know, dad after a road trip, zero patience. I'm like, hey, you need to put your pajamas on and brush your teeth. And he just lays there, and I'm like, pretending he's sleeping. And I'm like, you need to put your pajamas on and brush your teeth. And he goes, I'm asleep. I can't hear you right now. You know, what we have to understand is when it comes to our relationship with God, us wanting to hear his voice, I think sometimes we can get really intimidated by this. And even, you know, talking about like you either lose your life to sin or you lose your life to God. And that's a tough truth. That's not an easy truth, but we'll speak it. Last week we talked obedience. You know, our answer is yes before we even know what the question is. That's a really tough truth. And I think sometimes even we can, like, we get fearful about whether or not we're hearing God's voice, whether or not we're actually being obedient to him as he's leading us by his spirit. And I think what we need to be reminded of is if our heart is in the right posture and we have a true desire to hear his voice and we're listening for his voice with the heart posture of my answer is yes before I even know what you're saying to me, then we have to believe that God is good and he's going to make his desires known to us. He's going to make his directives known to us. He wants us to hear his voice and to be obedient to his voice even more than we want to hear his voice and be obedient to his voice. And I think we can find some strength in that. So there's all different kinds of ways that God might speak to us by his spirit. And we talked a little bit about this last week. I mean, sometimes it's you know, like I had somebody who came up to me after, sometimes it's through the word of God, okay? Like God's word is full of commands that we're accountable to. But then sometimes you're in a specific moment and God, it's like the words leap off the page at you and you're going, this is a word for me right now in this moment and I need to do something with this word for me in this moment, right? Now, I had somebody who came up to me that's a part of this movement after we were kind of launching the Beyond Initiative back in October or November, and we talked about helping launch an orphanage, that's something we were going to do. We were going to give money to help launch it. We were going to send teams to help build it. We're going to send teams to love those kids, you know, all of that stuff that we've been talking about that we're really excited about. And this person came up to me after service and just said, you know, for the last however long it had been a month or a couple months or something like that, every time I read scripture, it's like I just keep coming to these verses that over and over again, it is the widow and the orphan, the widow and the orphan, which is a theme of scripture. But they were saying, but these words are leaping off the page at me over the course of this last period of time. It's like God is speaking to me something about this, and I don't know what that means. But then this morning, while you guys are sharing about launching this orphanage, I feel like maybe another piece of this puzzle is falling into place. So there are ways that God speaks to us. Sometimes it's through his word. Sometimes it's just by God speaking to us in that still small voice in our own minds, in our own hearts. And then we're left kind of going like, is this actually God? Or is this me just making that up? Or is it just because last night I ate a slice of Meat Lover's pizza that was questionable, and it was too late, and then I had this weird dream, and I don't know, was that the Meat Lover's or was that the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me through this crazy dream that I had? You know, and like we find ourselves going, where is it God and where is it not? And sometimes we're like, I hope that's God because that sounds really exciting. And sometimes we're going, I hope that wasn't God that was speaking to me because that's really scary or whatever else. And what I want us to do this morning is to look at not just how God speaks to us, but how we can differentiate, how we can be more certain that it is God speaking to us. Because God wants to speak to us in the big decisions that we have to make in our lives, but he also wants to speak to us in the small everyday moments of our lives. And we need to figure out some ways to know if we're getting a directive from the Lord. So what I'm going to give you this morning is not a formula, okay? This is just a way for us to get our hearts and our minds on track to see if we're tracking with God. I heard this, I was probably 18 when I had a pastor teach on this. And so in maritime navigation, so if you're the captain of a ship, there is a way to help ships navigate tricky sections of water. They're called leading lights. So what this would be is like, say for instance, you are the captain of a ship, a cargo ship, and you need to get your ship into a certain harbor, into a certain port, but that harbor is littered with the wreckage of other ships. That harbor has reefs underwater that you can't see, and so you can't just go willy-nilly into this harbor because you could totally demolish the bottom of your ship, and then you would end up being a wreck in the bottom of that harbor that other ships have to navigate around, right? So there's a certain, like you have to thread the needle to get into a particular harbor. There's a certain angle you have to approach this port at. Well, what they devised was a system called harbor lights, and we've got a picture of it, a diagram of it. So look at the top image. The top image is on the shore. Heading out to sea, you've got two lighthouses, and they're different colors, and they are, one is in front of the other. And the goal is, if you are on course, look in the lower middle picture. If you are on course, you are hitting the harbor at the proper angle, then those two lights will be lined up, and you'll see them as one single light, okay? But I don't know starboard and port. I'm not cool enough to know that. I wish that I knew that. It doesn't make sense to me. Just say your right or your left, or say north or west or south or, you know, whatever. Anyways, if they're not lined up, then you can see, well, we're too far this direction, or we're too far that direction. And so we need to shift our approach so that we're coming with both of those, they're called leading lights, in alignment. And when you see those two leading lights in alignment, then that means you're on course. Does that make sense? You are all fit to be captains of ships now. You heard it here first, all right? So go do whatever you want to do. Go sailing. You're good to go. Here's what I want us to do. There are, according to the Word of God, there are ways that God leads us. And if we will, we're going to call them harbor lights or leading lights. If we will, there's four of them we're going to discuss this morning. And the way I want us to look at these is these four leading lights, these four harbor lights, when they are all in alignment together, it's the equivalent of a maritime leading light. That we can be, again, I'm not saying, this isn't a formula. God doesn't deal with us like we're homogenized people. Like God speaks to you differently than he speaks to me. He speaks to you differently than he speaks to her. I mean, like we're all, it's different, okay? So I'm not trying to lay out A plus B plus C plus D will always equal, you know, God's will, but we're going to give some tips and some tools for us to make sure that our life is in alignment. So these four harbor lights, if they're all moving in the same direction, then we can have peace that we're moving according to God's purposes and towards his plan. So the first light that we're going to discuss in seeking alignment with God, the first light is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And this is the first light for a reason. Because there's all kinds of times where as human beings, as followers of Jesus, we are wringing our hands, wondering what God's will is for us and what is God speaking to us. And the reality of it is, his heart, his character, his nature, his agenda is spelled out in the Word of God. It's spelled out in Scripture. And that needs to be the first and foremost place that we go to receive directive from the God, from God. So when we are wondering if we're hearing God's voice, we have to first determine, is it lined up with the Word of God? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. I'm going to share some stories with you this morning, some personal stories, just examples of times when I've been led by God's Spirit or God has spoken to me or people that I know in particular ways to kind of illustrate some of the stuff that we're talking about, if you'll permit me to do that. Again, I'm not really asking permission. I'm going to do that, but you know, hopefully you're okay with that. So one of the first times that I remember for a big decision, kind of a moment, that I sensed God speaking to me, and we'll kind of come back to this over the, I meant to share this in the intro, so we'll come back to it over the course of these Harbor Lights, was I had gone to, I was 16 years old, and the summer after my sophomore year, I had gone on a missions trip to Central America, and it was a life-transforming experience. God really got a hold of me, started to give me a heart for home, for my community, and but there was an opportunity that I had heard of to spend an entire summer in Central America on the mission field. And so I had been kind of sensing that maybe that was what God was wanting me to do, but I wasn't sure. I was in this spot where I'm going like, is that actually God? Is that just me that wants to do it? And I was wrestling through all kinds of stuff, because honestly, for me to go, it was gonna cost a lot of money. It was gonna be my whole summer was spent doing that. I had other goals, things that I've been working towards the rest of my high school career, you know, recreationally, like sports, some of that stuff that I had wanted to achieve certain things in sports that I was playing, and I had worked really hard towards that, and it meant I was just going to have to let that go, and it was going to mean that I would give that up. And so I'm kind of like wrestling back and forth with this, and I got to this point where I was like, I think this is God, but I'm not sure if it's God. And I was frustrated, and I went into my parents' room one day, and I can still picture it. I can still picture the light coming in their bedroom windows. I can picture sitting down on that bed and just pouring out my heart, and they knew I was kind of wrestling with it, and I'm like, I don't know if this is God or if it's not. And so they're like, well, let's pray. So we prayed, and I closed my eyes, and I still to this day, I can picture what I saw when I closed my eyes. I'm, you know, I don't know if this was a vision or what it was, but when I closed my eyes, like I had vivid pictures of Central America, the terrain, people, their faces. I smelled. If you've ever been to Central America, there's a distinct, like, developing countries smell like diesel fuel is basically what it is, or like diesel fumes, okay? Like, in that moment, I could see so clearly, and I could smell the exhaust from diesel, and I felt this peace come over me, and we got done praying, and I just looked at my parents, and I'm like, I'm supposed to go. I know that this is God leading me. I know that this is where he's leading me, and I know it's what he's supposed to do. So I ended up doing it and spending the entire summer there, and it was super pivotal in my life and in my formation. You know, so like you come to this, the Word of God is the first Harbor Light. Okay, so in that situation, like I would have to ask myself, is going on the mission field for a summer, does that line up with God's Word? Like does that go contrary? Because here's the deal. God will never lead you to do something contrary to what he's already written in the Scriptures. So let me just give you a practical example. If you are married and you have fallen out of love with the person that you are married to, and there is somebody else that you feel like you love more than the person that you are married to, and you feel like, well, I think maybe this might be what God has for me, the answer would be no, it's not, because that's contrary to what's already written in God's Word. So God would never lead you to do one thing that's out of line with what's in his Word. He doesn't do that. And so the first Harbor Light that we, and the next three that we're going to do, they all kind of have a caveat. Like usually it's this way, but sometimes it's not. God's Word is the only one of these Harbor Lights that has no caveat. God does not lead you to do things contrary to what's written in his Word. He doesn't do it. Okay? So we can be sure of that. So anything that we're going to do, we need to make sure that it fits within within his word, within what he's already laid out in scripture. The second light that we need to get in alignment to make sure that we're following in the footsteps that God wants us in is the peace of God. Light number two is the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I get this picture of like of an umpire. Like an umpire rules whether or not a ball is fair or foul. An umpire rules whether or not a ball is a strike or a ball. An umpire does all of that. And I picture the peace of God being this umpire in our life going like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Yes, that is what you're supposed to be doing. And so the Spirit of God, through our conscience, leads us and allows us to walk forward in peace. If we follow Jesus, it means that we have a peace that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so he sits on the throne of our lives and he rules our life with peace. And so one of the markers of followers of Christ for centuries has been, even when we find ourselves in situations that should be rattling our cages, that should be causing anxiety, that should be messing with us, that we move forward in peace. That God gives us a peace that is beyond our ability to comprehend, beyond our ability to understand. That's the way that he leads us. So I will say this. This is the caveat with this. There is a there's a differentiation between the peace of God and having peace of mind. Okay? So what I mean by that is this. Sometimes God calls us to do things and there's fear for us. We know the one step he's calling us to, but we don't know the 16 after that. And that messes with us because we like to have control, right? We like to know what's coming down the pike. We don't want to be caught off guard. And so that messes with us. And so there is fear of for us losing control and we don't have peace of mind. There's a difference between the peace of God and peace of mind. Sometimes God will give us, we don't know all the steps that we're going to take and we're not comfortable with that. But in the middle of that, God anchors our soul and gives us peace. Right? So let me give you an example from my life recently. So a few years ago when the Board of Elders asked Carrie and I if we would consider taking this position of being the lead pastors of this church, and I've shared this with you before. I'll just have a moment of honesty with you here. We started praying, and we had some people that were praying with us, and the first couple days, I did not have peace about it. I was not comfortable with it. And it was during one of the times when I was praying, it started becoming more and more clear, and then it became really clear during one of the prayer times that I was having. I was voicing out loud to God the fact that I was not feeling peace, and I felt like God whispered to me that what I was feeling was not a lack of his peace, but what I was feeling was a lack of peace of mind. And so then I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, what is it that's giving me, like, basically, where am I in my own flesh? And God gave me some very specific things. It was like, you're afraid of failing, and you're misinterpreting that as me not giving you peace. I grew up in this church, so I felt, nobody put it on me, but I feel extra pressure for Carrie and I stepping into the spot because the pastor that planted the church, Galen Hendrickson, baptized my parents. I grew up in this church. Pastor Dean was the former pastor that we took over for was my lead pastor growing up. We had been on staff with him for years, and it was like, those are big shoes to fill. You know, what if you screw up? What if you tank this thing? Like, it's your parents' church. It's bad enough to screw up any church, but what if you screw up your home church and you screw up your parents' church, you know? And it was like, God was saying, like, that is not a lack of peace for me. That's you being afraid. And you need to walk in the peace that I'm giving you for this. And I'm like, okay, there's a difference between peace of mind and the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's a difference for that. And somebody after first service came up to me and said, you know, it's funny that you said that because the verse says, there's a verse that says that his peace, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And I thought about that and I went, that is crazy because I always think of that meaning like, his peace is so amazing, I can't even comprehend it. But like, what if it means sometimes he gives us peace apart from our own ability to understand how everything's going to play out, but he still gives us peace if we allow him to speak to us. So that's the caveat, that God leads us in his peace, but we have to be careful that it's actually him giving us peace or not giving us peace, right? So the word of God and the peace of God. The third is our circumstances. Our circumstances line up. We have opportunities in particular ways. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He was in Ephesus, a city called Ephesus, and he was doing ministry, and he's writing to the Corinthian church in a different city, and he said this in verse 16, verse 8. He says, I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me. So he's explaining in this letter, I was going to do this particular thing, but then this door opened up, and so I'm going to go, like I'm going to stay here instead of doing what I was planning on doing, because God has swung open a door for me to walk through, and so I feel like I'm supposed to walk through it. The opportunity is there. I'm going to walk through it, right? The circumstances line up with what he was sensing in his heart he was supposed to do. Now, you can't make the mistake of thinking that that means everything is going to fall into place and it's all going to be unicorns and rainbows and gumdrops and puppies and whatever else we can think of that's, you know, super cuddly and makes us feel good. You know, Paul actually, many times, and this is one that was included, these circumstances actually like included opposition if you read the context of the scripture. It included opposition. It wasn't like he was going, hey, everything's going perfect. Life is too good here for me to leave right now, so I'm just going to stay. That was not what he was talking about. He was seeing that in the spirit world, that God was opening up a door for him to stay in this place and to do, to continue doing ministry. So let me give you another example of from my own life. I will never forget when I was dating the girl who is now my wife, Carrie. We, from the very beginning, we held our relationship with an open hand. We were both like, hey, listen, I don't want you to be with me if I'm not who you're supposed to be with. And I don't want to be with you unless, you know, you're supposed to be like who I'm supposed to be with, right? So like from the very get-go, we had really honest conversations. We were both basically like, hey, I mean, I like you, this is cool and everything, but like, I'm going to lay you before God every day and until we're married. And if he's like, nope, then we'll be like, okay, well, it was fun, but this isn't what we're supposed to do. And we'll move on, right? So it wasn't that calloused or that divorced from emotion. I can tell you that, especially as we got to know each other. That got to be more and more of a difficult prayer to pray. But I remember she was getting ready to move at the end of summer down to New Mexico, and we were going to be away from each other long distance. And we were in school together, and I was looking at the fact that in the fall, she was going someplace other than where I was going, and we were already going to have to do long distance if we were still together, and I was looking at the summer, and we were going, this feels like it might be moving towards something pretty serious, but how are we ever going to find out unless we, like, spend some time together? But so you going to Kansas City where you're from and me going back to Rapids where I'm from may not work, so I called her dad. I mean, she wanted me to do this. I called her dad, who was a remodeler. I never met the man before in my life, and asked him if I could stay with his family for the summer and if I could have a job. Yeah, I have no idea what I was thinking. I don't know. Like, I think back and I go, that was really gutsy. I don't remember feeling like I was that gutsy. I felt like I was more of a wimp, but I look back and I'm like, look at you. That was good. We're talking, he's like, sure, I could always use, you know, summer help, and you can stay with, like, we'll find out if Carrie had older siblings, and one of them was married and lived, like, a couple blocks away from where she lived, and he's like, we'll see if maybe you can live there, so you're not in the same house, and whatever else, and I'm like, great. And then we're talking, and he's like, you know, I pay my laborers this many dollars per hour, and I'm like, I know I gotta save for school for the next year, and, like, I gotta crunch the numbers, how many hours am I gonna work, and I talked to my dad about all those things, because my dad's good with finances, and so I'm like, hey, I got to think about that to see if I'll make enough, you know, money for what I need moving forward, and I'll get back to you. And he goes, oh, well, actually, I gave you the wrong dollar amount. It's a dollar more than what I just said. And I almost threw up and, like, lost all color in my face because I'm going, this guy thinks that I'm negotiating with him over the phone about the wage that I'm being paid. He doesn't know me. I'm dating his daughter. I'm asking if I can come live with his family, and he's offering to pay me X amount of dollars. And I'm like, can you do a little bit better than that? You know. Anyways, that has nothing to do with the story. So I moved to Kansas City. We were spending all kinds of time together. She was lifeguarding. I was working for her dad. And there was one night where I was walking home, and I was praying that prayer that I had always walking home to her my now sister and brother-in-law's house. And I was praying that prayer that I had been praying for months of just going, God, at that point, I had told her that I loved her. And I was like, I love this girl, but I am holding her with an open hand. And she had just told me that night that she loved me. I told her I loved her before. She told me. She was like, I'm like, hey, I love you. And she's like, cool. And I was like, yeah, cool, okay. it was healthy. And so she had just told me that night that she loved me. So I was kind of on cloud nine. It was late at night, and I was walking down the street. And I remember I was like in the gutter, like not on the sidewalk, but walking down the street. And I was praying, like pretty excited, going, hey, this girl just told me that she loves me. And I was like, but God, she's yours. And if I'm not who she's supposed to have, then you need to make that clear to us. And I will never forget, I felt like God whispered to me, the time is coming when you won't have to pray that prayer anymore because you're going to marry this girl. And yeah, seriously, I should have had like, aw, signs for you. And I sat down in the road and was like, whoa, that's heavy, right? I'm sharing that story because getting a word from God that you're going to marry somebody really only matters if they're feeling the exact same thing, right? Like if I felt like God told me that I was going to marry Carrie, but she hadn't told me that she loved me, and then I went to her the next day, I'm like, so God told me that we are to be married together. You know, like I know people that have done that before. I actually had some friends, Carrie and I had some friends in the past who like, one of them got felt like God spoke to them and said they were going to be married, and the other one was like, I'm not getting that same word, you know. So one of them is like, you know, like, hey, the circumstances are, I love you, and I think we should be married. And the other one's like, yeah, the circumstances, that's not going to happen, you know. So sometimes the way that God leads us, what are the circumstances saying? Are the circumstances saying that this is a direction that God is leading you, that this is a door that he's opening up before you? I mean, we had like couples in the Beyond Initiative, multiple of them that talked to us about it, like they prayed separately about what they were supposed to pledge financially, and one of them got a number that maybe wasn't even something they would have normally thought of, and then as their spouse was praying, when they came back together, they had the exact same number, and they were laughing, going, neither of us would have ever picked this number on our own, and we both, like the circumstances are that we both came to the spot where this is what we feel like we're supposed to give, right? I mean, you know, that's the circumstances that are opening up in front of us. And I want to, again, it's not the only piece that has to come in alignment with the Word of God, and it has to come into alignment with the peace of God. And I also want to give the caveat here that sometimes God calls us to things and the circumstances, the door is not open yet. And it doesn't mean that the door is not going to open up, but it means that the door is not open up yet. And so sometimes it's an issue of timing, and some of us need to learn from this. Just because God speaks something to us and it lines up with his word and we have a peace about it and the circumstances are there, and maybe you've even gone through the fourth light that we're going to go through of getting godly counsel and it all lines up, but sometimes the circumstance isn't there yet and we need to learn to be quiet. Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw certain things. God spoke certain things to her, and it says that she treasured those things in her heart. She kept her mouth shut. And some of us speak prematurely and God is still incubating something in our hearts, and we just blab it out and things happen. And so we need to learn to just sit on things and wait and be quiet. Circumstances not being there doesn't mean it's not supposed to happen. It just might mean the timing isn't what we want it to be. Jeremiah 32, we won't get into it because I don't want to take too much of your time, but Jeremiah 32 is a great chapter to read. It's super interesting. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were living apart from God, and so they were going to be punished. They were going to be captured they were going to be conquered by a neighboring nation and taken off into captivity. It was going to be bad. It was already getting bad, and Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he had been saying to the leadership and to all the nation of Israel, this is what's coming. We need to repent. We need to change our ways. We're going to suffer under God's judgment. He was just shooting really, really straight, and the king did not like that he was doing that, and so the king arrested him. And while he's arrested, held captive in the courtyard of the palace, there's siege works being laid against Jerusalem, and like it's all going down, and it's really, really bad. And everything that he'd been prophesying is starting to happen, and he's imprisoned. And while he's imprisoned in Jeremiah 32, we're told that God says to him, I want you to buy a field. And I'm sure Jeremiah is like, okay, like that's what you got for me right now? Like I'm in prison. We're being, you know, like taken over by this other country. Nobody's listening to me. They all think I'm horrible and I hate our country and I'm not hearing from you and you want me to buy a field. Okay. And then shortly after he got that word from God, his cousin comes into the courtyard and says, my father, Jeremiah's uncle, is selling this parcel of land. You should buy it to keep it in the family. Circumstances are right there, and God had been speaking to him. And so Jeremiah does it. He's like, I don't know what this is. He does it. He signs the deed. And as he's signing the deed, God speaks to him and says, I am having you purchase this land and sign this deed because right now everything is falling apart. But I want the people of Israel to know that one day they'll come back into this land and it will be restored. And people will once again buy land and they will sign deeds and life will move on and they will flourish in this land. And it's not going to feel like it right now, but you're doing this prophetically to show the people that life will continue and that God's blessing will rest on them once again. See, like God speaks to us and then he swings doors of opportunity open for us, but it's up to you and I whether we move through those. So the fourth light, and I already kind of said it just a minute ago, is wise counsel. So we've got the word of God, we've got the peace of God, we've got our circumstances, and then we've got wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the middle of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. You know, I'm amazed at times when I hear about some of the decisions that we as followers of Jesus make in our lives without getting godly counsel from people that we trust and respect. Or we get advice and counsel from people, but they're not people who share our same perspective on life. They're not people who are followers of Jesus. And I'm not trying to throw rocks at people in the body of Christ, or, you know, people out of the body of Christ, but the reality of it is, James 3 makes it really clear, there is a difference between godly wisdom and the wisdom of this world. And so when we make decisions, we need people speaking into our life that share our perspective on life because they share God's perspective on life. I mean, read through Scripture. Like, God, like he's always saying, you want to be the greatest, you got to be the least. Like, it's always backwards. You want to get life, you got to give up your life. Like, everything, it's the opposite of what we tend to think of as human beings. And so it would make sense that you and I, we need to find godly counsel from people who share our values, share our perspective on the kingdom of God and our lives. They're people who believe the same things we believe about the way that we should handle our finances, about the way that we should move forward in our careers, about the way that we should serve the world around us, about what God's heart is for those people that don't know him, right? They see things the same way that we see. And so we should be bringing those decisions before them, you know, like 16-year-old Jeff going to his parents and going, hey, I feel like maybe I'm supposed to go on this trip. I think that's what God's speaking to me, but I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. Seeking counsel in that way from godly people and asking them, would you speak into my life? I mean, do we trust that other people can hear from God too? Do we trust that if God is leading, if he's big enough to speak to me to take this massive leap in my life, that he's big enough to speak to somebody else in my life to confirm that for me, right? Or do we trust that like God can speak to them, and if I'm so obsessed with what I want to do that I'm not really objective about it, that God could speak to somebody else in my life and they could say, I'm not sure that this is God. It seems like you've made up your mind. It seems like you're coming up with your own plan and you're asking God to bless it instead of holding your life with an open hand, right? Do we trust people? Who are those people in your life that you can go to in that way? And let me give you the quick caveat on this. The quick caveat on this is not everybody's always going to have God's perspective for your life, okay? And I would say that doesn't mean you don't trust people's advice or their counsel. I would go back to the verses that we just read in Proverbs. It says, a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Many advisors bring success. So, like, the example that I can think of best is when my wife went to New Mexico. That was before we got engaged. That's why I moved to Kansas City, because that summer she was going to be in New Mexico. And she was, it was insane that she went where she went and did what she did. She's a 20-year-old young woman who felt like God was calling her to Shiprock, New Mexico, which is in the middle of nowhere on the Navajo Reservation, a little white girl in a culture she does not know, with all kinds of people she does not know. It's not an easy place to do ministry. I mean, literally knew a couple of people, and that was it. Yeah, two people that she knew. That was it. Hadn't even met the pastor she was going to be working with. She had had two phone conversations with him, I think, before she took the job, and felt like that's what she was supposed to do. Like, I cannot believe that nobody stopped her, honestly. And we were just talking about that this week. We were driving down to, I drove her down to New Mexico to drop her off before I started school that fall. And it was like, we got to about a half hour from where she was going to be living, and reality started to hit, and it was really, really heavy. Like, she knew that this was not easy, what she was stepping into. It was not easy. But all the counselors in her life, all the counsel, nobody was going, you know what, I don't think this is what you're supposed to do. It was the opposite of that. I was feeling the same thing for her, except there was one person in her life that was a mentor who was saying, like, I don't think this is what you're supposed to do. It was the one dissenting opinion. And basically, as Carrie prayed about it, what it came down to was this mentor was kind of like wanted something for Carrie that was not what God wanted for Carrie, wanted Carrie to stay by her, wanted her to develop in this particular way and stay under her leadership, and so maybe wasn't looking at it so objectively, and that wasn't how God was leading. But all of the rest of the voices were pointing towards that. So I say all that to just say, like, yes, we need counsel. There are going to be times where there are going to be people in your life that don't understand what God's asking you to do. They're going to be telling you, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You shouldn't be doing this. And there are times where God leads us down that path anyways. But I will tell you, if the majority of your counsel, that's godly counsel, is against it, you need to slow down and pump the brakes. Right? And the opposite of it, I'll never forget, there was a couple that we knew that there was infidelity in the marriage, and the offended party, the one who had been cheated on, was wanting to make the marriage work. And the one who had committed adultery didn't want to make the marriage work. And the one who was unfaithful had all these advisors in their ear that were not followers of Jesus saying to them, he's never been good for you anyways, you deserve better than that. She was the one that had made the mistake in the first place. There was blame to go around, right? There usually is. But everybody in the ear was this, you deserve better, you deserve to be happy, follow your heart. None of them were followers of Jesus. None of them. And so some of us need to pump the brakes and go, who are we letting speak to us, to our situations? Is it people who understand the word of God and they understand the way that God leads and his ability to restore and his ability to provide supernaturally? And frankly, is it people that understand that half the time when God calls us to do crazy things, that is what God means by living our life to the fullest and life that is truly life? It's when God calls us to do stuff that it doesn't make sense to the average person, but God asks us to do that. And in those moments, we see him show up in miraculous ways. We see him transform a shattered marriage. We see him provide in ways that we could have never seen him provide for if we hadn't put ourselves out there in a risk. I mean, we see him develop inside of us his heart for the broken in ways that we never would have felt his heart for other people if we hadn't put ourselves in a context where we were bombarded by need and by brokenness all the time. But that's not always going to make sense to other people around us. And so that's why wise counsel is a must, but it's got to be godly wisdom, not just wisdom. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And when we get done praying, we're going to have any prayer teams that are in here this morning, even if it's you're not on this Sunday. If we've got anybody in the building that's on a prayer team, if you can make your way down to the front while I start praying. I'm sure that there are decisions that need to be made that are in this room. I'm sure that there's clarity that needs to be had for direction and purpose in your life. We're just going to believe for that. Whether you come down to a prayer team to ask for prayer, don't go to the prayer team. Turn to the person in the seat next to you. If we're followers of Jesus, we can all seek God together. We don't have to be special prayer teams to do that, right? What I want is for us to seek God together for clarity in our lives, because I believe God wants to give it to us. He wants us to get alignment with his word, with his peace, with the circumstances in our lives, and with godly counsel around us. And I'm believing for him to do that for us this morning. So why don't you stand to your feet and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that your promise to us is that your sheep hear your voice. We know your voice. You know us, that we'll follow you as we hear your voice. God, that is our desire. We are before you this morning just holding our lives, saying, God, we hold it with an open hand. The decisions that we need to make for our business, the decisions that we need to make within our families, God, the direction for our marriages or for the relationships that we're in, the directions for where we're going to live and what we're going to do and what we're going to study and what degrees we're going to pursue, the decisions for the friendship circles that we have. God, all of these things from the very greatest decision all the way down to the seemingly menial and small in our lives, you care about them. So God, we are asking you this morning, lead us by your Spirit. Would you speak to us by your Spirit? Would you give us clarity from your word and from your peace and from the circumstances in our lives? God, from the godly counsel around us. God, I pray that right now where there's fogginess and confusion, would you dispel it? Would you remove it? And in its place, would you give clarity and wisdom and direction and decisiveness? God, I pray for your Spirit to be in this place, for you to lead and guide us according to your agenda. We say yes to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.